I trust everyone this evening is working on their building. We've been working all along this week, getting closer to the Lord, getting a better situation in our own walk. And I feel this is very important and essential for each and every one of us. And peradventure, there's someone here who is not saved from their sins. We urge you to do something about that right away. Do something about your soul's condition before it's too late. It'll be too late when Jesus comes. It'll be too late then to do something about your soul. I make a special appeal tonight to our young folks who feel like many times that there's just lots and lots of time. But young folks, go out into eternity to meet God. I know it to be so. I know it to be so. I was in an occasion to visit the funeral home on business, and there over on the side I noticed it was a young man. I began to question about him, and the mortician told me the circumstances of his being there. And this young man found himself in a series of predicaments that cost him his life. He got involved and really was trying to straighten out something. And he was got in the pathway of a bullet. And it was not even his concern altogether. And the wound was not the kind of a wound that people die from. It was kind of an odd thing, the way it all happened. He died from a wound that people normally don't die from. So young folks die. And it always touches our hearts because somehow we feel that some opportunity has been missed. Well, may the Lord help us to realize Jesus is calling. And He's calling you and He's calling me. And He's doing all that He can to gather us unto Himself while there's still time and before it's too late. We want to look to the Word of God tonight. We have a little simple thought, but we're trusting that it'll penetrate and reach us, and it'll cause us to think sober and serious and prepare our hearts to meet the Lord and be ready to meet Him when He comes. And we surely need your prayers tonight. And you know, when you get down to about this part, this time in the meeting, you get down to a few more precious hours together, maybe minutes now, and it's going to be seconds, and whether you do anything about your soul or not is going to rest solely upon your head. It's going to rest in your hands, dear friend. And we hope tonight that if you have not made any advances and moving ups in God, that you'll do so, that you'll be eager and urgent to do so. We call our attention now to the 7th chapter in the book of Matthew. And we're looking at some thoughts tonight that we need God's help in. We need His help right here. Well, before we get there, let's go over to the 13th chapter. We want to go there first. Matthew 13. A little bit here that we want to look at. By the help and grace of God. He says in the 13th and the 3rd verse, He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. God help us now. And the fowls came and devoured them. We need the Lord to help us tonight. A sower. This is a man that is casting his seeds in hope that they will be fruitful and prosper and bring forth. The seed we're talking about tonight is the Word of God. The sword that we have reference to tonight, the sword is God's Spirit in the earth, wooing and calling after the hearts and minds of men and women. It's God's ministry that are going forth in all the quarters of the earth to call men and women's attention. It is God's endeavor, it's God's initiative to gain your soul. That's His sword tonight. And He's working to capture our attention, and He's sowing the seed, the Word of God. The Word of God, the precious Word of God. I'm thankful tonight that it is the Word of God entering into a place where it is allowed to germinate and grow and prosper and to be nurtured there. It's that Word that will bring you and I out tonight. It will let it work and let God have His full course. This sower went forth and he sowed the seed. Some fell by the wayside. Oh, may God help us now. The wayside. Just kind of a bypass. Kind of off the trail a little bit. And the fowls right away just gobbled it right up. Never had a chance. Never got an opportunity to catch root and produce its kind. I know of this. I know of individuals who the Lord is dealing with them, has worked with them all week long, and thoughts have come, and there have been challenges, and there have been urgings and proddings and goadings by the Spirit of God. And then there will be right beside them or nearby someone there sent by the enemy of souls to detract their mind from it and snatch away the precious thought of, or there'll be some matter of business, or there'll be some concern to come up. The fowls come in every kind of size, shape, and color to stop you and I from receiving the Word of God, from being able to get it. So I want you to know that there is a battle going on right now. There's a battle. Right now. You say, well, I'm just sitting on this seat all by myself. You are not. You say, well, there's other folks there. Yes, but I'm thinking of some powers beyond that. Every time we assemble like this, be assured, you can bank on it. The devil is far more faithful in attending meeting than you and I will ever be. He's far more diligent in being in place and there to block, to hinder, to cause something to be gobbled up before it can work good in your life or mine. If you want to be saved, if you want to get good to your soul, you are going to have to give your undivided attention to the things that God sends your way. If you want a better circumstance in your life, if you want to do better, if you want to have a better outlook, you're going to have to get down to serious business with what God sends your way. And mine, praise the Lord. And have to. Because there's always something to throw you off track. Knowing a sister to tell. Getting ready to go down to prayer. Maybe just starting in prayer. And the telephone rings. Now what should I do? Continue prayer or answer the phone? You ever been there? I have. I don't know about you. I've been there. Well, I've made some purposes in my life along the way. And one of them that I made was when I engage with God, I'm not getting up until the Lord is through with me. I said that one time, and a sister got up after. I wasn't talking to her, and I didn't know anything about what was going on in her heart. But she got up, and she said, please answer the phone when I call. Well, I have no idea who's calling. But I know when I'm talking to the Lord, and the Lord is talking to me, nothing else matters. Oh, listen, folks. You can say, excuse me, Lord, and get up and answer the telephone, and somebody has a lot or nothing to talk about. No, they can wait. Amen. If they really want me, I've found they call again and again anyway. We're talking about not being distracted. There are distractions everywhere. There's distractions in a meeting house. There are distractions in a meeting house, if you please. I've found many distractions. Oh, God, help us right now. I found a many distractions on the back row. You sit back on the back row, you can hear poetry, songs, gum chewing, notepads. They're back there. But I have found on the front row, nobody bothers you. Think about what I'm saying. No distractions. Nobody nudging you. Nobody wanting anything. But you get in the back. What did he say? What page is that? God help us. That's enough to scoop up the word that was sent for your good. Amen. Now I appreciate very much our little babies and little children in the midst. A sister, bless my soul, one time, she's sitting in meeting and several little babies were on the next row. She turned around, she said, "Excuse me, y'all, I don't mean no harm, but I'm moving. I want to hear the word of God. I got her message. I don't mean any harm, and I'm glad you're here, but I want to hear the word of God." Lord, help us. Seed, this precious seed, it's not like any other seed, folks. It's not like any other seed that we'll ever be privileged to have and come into contact with. The word of God is not like anything you've ever heard or read. Praise the Lord. And we need to have a higher esteem for it. Oh, we need to recognize Jesus talked about the word of God as meat that you know not of. Disciples went off and shopping and to get supplies and so forth, provision. And they came back to Jesus and he's busy talking. They said, "Master, we got the meat." Glory to God. He said, "No, no, no. I have meat. Meat that you know not of." We're talking about the precious seed, the word of God. It's meat, friend. It's the word of God that'll lift us up and out and establish us down deep in God. And I'm not talking about learning a bunch of doctrine and knowing a bunch of rules, but I'm talking about the word taking hold in my life and coming out, glory to God. Talking about Christ being formed in you. Amen. The fowls are there to stop that. The devil's determined to stop that. Amen. I tell young folks, you might have some good friends, but you make it real clear to them. And when I'm in meeting, don't expect me to play with you and make eyes with you. Don't expect that. I want to hear the word of God. That's why I come. God help us. The fowls, enough of that. They came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Now, I watched this over the years, and I haven't been around real long, but I believe the Lord has given me an intensified course. Amen. And what I've seen and observed in the dealings of God, I find that it's like that. It works this way, that someone jumps up and they get a hold of something they call the Holy Ghost or the Word of God and an inspiration. And they really go at it wide open, see? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You just wait a little while. And you'll be scooping them up. Stony places. Not much earth. But they spring up. Listen. I know I planted some things and they didn't spring up. I waited a process of time, and it took a process, and it took the nature working, the sun and the water, and a length of time for that thing to develop properly. And even when I began to see that something was taking place, it was just a little leaf, a little bud. Hope we get a thought here. I mean, some little child would say, "Look, I heard a story one time in the it seemed like the grandfather planted some potatoes and the little boy was there while he was doing the planting and the little fella fell asleep out in the garden. And they went on the way, seeming he was sleeping. They looked for him and found him sleeping in the garden. Said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm waiting for these potatoes to grow." Well, he'd be waiting a long time because when you plant them, they don't grow right that next minute. There's a process here. There's a process, folks. And if we're going to have a healthy development at all, it has to go the process. Now, they've got methods and techniques, all right, that they can kind of shoot some fertilizer and chemical and pour some gas on it and heat it up real good. And boom, here's a big piece of fruit. In less time than it normally takes. Now you can be the judge here, but it doesn't have the quality of one that goes the process. I mean, I can't take those plastic tomatoes. They're pink looking. They're hard. They don't have any texture and juice or flavor. But you let them ripen the proper amount of time, like God has ordained, and oh, you don't have better fruit. There's a message here for you and I. We want to see souls encouraged and going on in God. But Lord help us. There's no place for the 90-day wonder in the church of God. God help us now. There's no place for that. Seasoned and settled. Roots down deep in God. Serious. This is serious, folks. It's not just for tonight, or I want to impress the folks on Sunday, or I want to look good for a little space. I'm going to live like this the rest of my life, so I want to form real careful and real sure. Yes, amen. I mean to be around a while, producing fruit too. Amen. Didn't just pop up. Well, it sprung up, this one did, because it had no deepness of earth. Now, that could be a signal, couldn't it? To spring up like that is an evidence there's no depth. It's not real. To put that fruit out there that fast, it's not going to have the quality of fruit that went the time and processed just right. When the sun was up, they were scorched. Well, when is the sun going to come up? The sun's going to come up every day. Amen. Every day the sun's going to come up. The heat of the sun, the enduring of the day, the living the life day by day, moment by moment, in the everyday places of life is where the child of God is most able to produce and show the graces of God. Sunday morning in church is not the place. Oh, listen, it's home. It's in the real close places at home. It's there with your wife and your children and your neighbors and all, where we really show just what's going on. Scorched. We've had enough experiences, and we take our time and analyze them, to see that it's poor business, very poor business, to try to cut that process down in any way in the behalf of souls getting established, particularly in the ministry, particularly in leadership places and places like that, particularly there. There's no need to tamper with that. Let it go its full course. Let it really have full course. We got saved in camp meeting. He's preaching now. Look out. Look out. What can he preach? I've often wondered where our preachers come from anyway. God help us. Oh, I believe God has an incubating process. I believe the Lord separates them from the very beginning, from day one when He blesses them and saves their soul. I believe the process maybe is beyond that even. But oh, it's going to have to work out. It's going to have to work its way out. Glory to God. You know, If we're in this kind of a situation, we feel a little apprehensive. Is that a fair word? Here's a man that's getting ready to work on my automobile, and you talk with him a while, and he says, "Well, I just got out of mechanic school." You're going to turn him loose on your automobile. He says, "Well, it looks like this. That's what they said in school." In natural things, we put a premium on experience and different time limits and intervals of exposing and being exposed to different conditions. We put premium on that. And so a wise man says 20 years experience, and we kind of breathe a little better, don't we? I do. How long you been doing this? Oh, a long time. I've been here 30 years. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't mind you looking under here. I expect you know what you're doing. It doesn't mean one that comes up doesn't know. But the odds of them not being fully matured are way high, folks. And there'll be a problem they don't know what to do with, and it'll just be your car that it pops out on. And we can get by with the car, but when it comes to souls, when it comes to eternal matters, we can't get by with that. God help us all. We can't get by with that. What are we talking about? We just don't want it springing up. We want it to be something that's going the full maturing process. You pray tonight now. Got a thought on our hearts. Scorched, and because it had no root, they withered away. How much damage is done by one that seemed to be going on and seemed to have everything, and down the line a little way, withered up now. How do you explain that? Real hard to explain, isn't it? How could it be so powerful and unction and now it's withered away? I believe we go back to the scriptures. We'll see something here. The heat, the real test, the real frictions, the real rubs, the real trials didn't have what it took. Amen. I remember one time I was going to start a business. And I had in my mind this will be a little business and now start it and so forth. But you know what I ran into most of all? I didn't have enough behind me to start the business. It did all right as long as customers came in, but then it got to be a lean time I got to sweating a little bit. And the sole reason the business folded is it didn't have enough behind it to stand up and go on in tough times. Folks, there's a spiritual analogy in here. You have to have enough in you to be able to continue in the tough times. When there's nobody there to encourage you, when there's nobody there that sees it like you see it. You're going to have enough to be able to go on anyway because God set you forward. Well, that's so much with business. I know now, don't jump out there unless you have enough behind you. God help us. The same is true in God. Ripen. Season. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. This house ought to be, the rafters ought to be ringing here. You know why? Because we're talking about something that's going to affect every one of us. Every one of us is affected by this. One way or another, at some time or another. Somebody didn't go on. Somebody didn't continue. Somebody withered up. We say, we've got to stop this. Well, here's a good place to start. Pay the price. Go all the way through. Get fully established. Let God take you through your training cycles. David didn't become king overnight. No, you can see something there. God proved him and made him and brought him to the time. All right, let's move on. But some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. Other fell on good ground, brought forth fruit. Now, really what I want to look at, I want us to take a look at tonight. I'm really thinking about this thought of they lacked deepness. There was no deepness of earth. And this thought ringing in my mind and in my heart tonight about this lack of deepness, this lack of getting the essentials and the vital things that are going to help us and establish us. And this is not just preachers here, but every child of God to get the kind of experience in God that you can go on and be true to Him and faithful to Him and just go right on and prosper and flourish regardless to the outward circumstances. I believe if the rootage is down deep enough, it'll find water to live on. It'll find substance, moisture. It's just that shallow plant's not going to be able to draw from that kind of a reserve. Let's turn and look at a man that did some building. Wanted to do some building in the 7th chapter of Matthew. Jesus speaking here. Let me start it over here a little bit. We'll go here now. This is on my heart tonight, folks. Deepness of earth. Some depth. Allow the process to work in your life. Allow God to take you deep. Dear Sister Chandler, Isaac Chandler's wife, came and held couldn't really call it meeting. She just came and stayed with us. And in the process, she taught us. Amen. One of the things she said that caught my attention and I took note of it and hold firmly to it today. She said, when we've been saved a number of years, our experience ought to be of such that we are down in a good, steady place in God. That the devil, when he comes around kicking up his dust and trying to disturb situations, he can't find us. In other words, we ought to be in a place where we cannot be moved. Been saved a number of years, keeping up with my homework, digging down, finding new places in God and anchoring there and growing up from that place. Oh, listen, I believe that. I've looked out too many times and wondered how we could fall apart so rapidly after so many years of a walk with God. I don't believe it's consistent. No. All right, listen to what the Lord says. These are familiar scriptures, and I'm glad, because a lot of times if you say things to folks that they never heard before, then they can hold out on, I never heard it, but I'm sure we heard this before. Let's look at it again. 7th chapter, Jesus 24, Jesus speaking, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Oh, God, help us. Oh, help me, Lord. Whosoever, thank God for that. You can't keep me back now. It says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. The Lord set the qualifications. He set the standard. He set the, what would we call it? The very precedent here is hearing the Word of God, doing the Word of God. Oh, this is how we grow. This is how we get established. This is how we gain depth. This is how we plow down, glory to God. Now listen, here's what will happen to him. He said, I'm going to show you who he's liking. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house up on a rock. I remember Brother Effinger told us one time, he said he got a little piece of ground and his own words, and I threw me up a 3-bedroom house. Hey, man. I asked him later about that. He said, that's what I did. I threw it together. But he said after a while, it was all right for a while. He said, but after a while, the floor went to sagging and leaning and things got to happening to that old house and it didn't stand any amount of time. Oh, I'll tell you folks, it pays us. When it comes to my soul, particularly my soul, I don't want to throw anything together. I want to work careful and diligent here because it's my soul that's at stake. It's my soul that's going to have to face these things. And I want to have everything just right, glory to God, when the time comes of being challenged or confronted or called upon to stand. Watch what happens here. I'm going to show you what happened. The rain descended. God help us. The rain descended. I was in a place one time that when it started raining, the children would run to get the pots. That's right. Put a pot here and a pot there and a pot there. Yeah, the roof leaked. Every time it rained, they'd get the pots out. And I thought now, if that rain continues any length of time, we're going to be in trouble. We would have a mess all over the floor. But there's another danger. A place that leaks, a place that is not sufficient to repel and hold back the rain, is going to gradually weaken the whole thing.
That's right.
All right, it keeps going and going and going in the whole roof after a while. But how did I come to have a leaking roof? Well, I never thought that there would be a rain time. I just went up and put me a cover over there and it was sunny when I did it and everything was fine when I first did it and I never even thought that a rain might come up. It says here, the rain descended. It's coming, folks. The rains will come. The rain's pouring in torrents. I've seen it to where you could say sheets of rain. Spiritually speaking, there are storms along the way. I need to keep dry and keep myself protected and not be affected by the outer elements. Too many that are claiming to walk with God are affected by the outer elements. Something wrong with your building. Old songwriter said, I found a leak in my building and I sure got to move. Listen, folks, you got a leak, you need to move. That thing's going to cause you more headaches and problems. Old fella said, I can fix that leak. And he jumped up there, and so to speak. He has more of that jumping and throwing, see. And poured a little liquid, a little gravel, and there it is. That's good for a few more days. Guess what? The leak came right back in the next rain. I've seen folks in meetings and in times of spiritual revival and refreshing come to an altar instead of digging deep and getting the matter clearly taken care of. They get a little patch job. Generally, we want the preacher from out of town to pray with us because he won't deal with us like the pastor. Amen. I'm going to get somebody that doesn't know about my building, see. And he'll pray with me and soothe me and pet me, and I'll get up and smile. But if I see my pastor coming, I don't want him to deal with my building. God help us, folks. Well, the Lord's blessed me. I'm a good building inspector. I don't pet folks. You came to the altar. The Lord prompted you to come. Brother, what do you need? Open up. Yes. Oh, I'm fine. I just came up here because I just felt like I just came for a little, you know, a little more encouragement. Come on, brother. All right. Come on now. Let's not patch it up. Let's tear that thing off. The fellow came down and looked at our chapel roof, and we were trying to save money. And I appreciate this fellow. He said, you want to save money, don't you, preacher? I said, I sure do. He said, well, forget patching it. Let's tear this whole thing off and do it right. The tune of $4,000-some. That's woo. He said, well, you want to save, don't you? The only way you'll save is tear this shabby roof off and put a good one on. Yeah. Folks, in your soul, you want to save. You don't want to be in this condition next meeting. You don't want assembly meeting to find you in a poverty condition. Then let's save right. Let's tear this whole thing down. Yeah. Let's put a brand new roof on it. Oh, that brand new roof gives us security. No more putting the pots out. We can just sit in there. It can hit it and rain on it and blow on it. And we say, glory to God, we dry. Yes. Thought about Noah and the ark. God was building a structure that not only would preserve life in the sense of from the elements, but this was a structure that was typical of the church of God. Pitched within and pitched without. This structure was a type of the glorious church of God. And we have, if you study about that ark, you see some basic things and principles that bless your soul if you take it in. He said, now I want you to build this ark. There you build it. It wasn't an overnight job. It wasn't an overnight job. They labored and had to get the logs and hew them and get them together. Just a long, arduous, tedious task. But you see, we're going to have to go against the elements. And we're going to need something that'll hold up. Yes, brother in the congregation builds boats. And another brother had his boat, and I visit him often. I learn a lot from him. And brother brought his boat in and said, I just want you to, I'm having some trouble. Such and such here, and I want you to see what you can do for me. And he peeled it back. The brother walked out and looked at his boat and said, if you take that out in the water one more time, said, you and this boat will never be heard of again. Listen, folks, the thing was dangerous. He said it'll crack up. It'll fold up and dissolve in the ocean. Some folks disappear because they go out on life's journey in a vessel that cracks up and dissolves. He said, what you need to do, if you really want to do some boating, we must tear all of this out. Then he told him what had to go in. Now, sounds discouraging to hear that I've got to do some tearing down. But you want to save, don't you? You want to be saved? Then we have to tear down and put something substantial there. that stand, the ark pitched within and without. And I'm not afraid or ashamed to say that that speaks of two works of grace, within and without. The poet said, cleanse within and without, oh, praise his dear name. It's not just enough to have the outside measured up. We're going to have to be measured up on the inside. Our spirit's going to have to be right. We're getting ready to go out and this ship's going to be launched and it's going to face the cruelest of elements.
Yes, that's right.
We're going to have to be able to go on, weather the storms. Oh, God, help us. There was one window right up in the top. Now, you know where we need to look for help, don't you? Up. Hey, man, stop looking down. The nature of a chicken is to look down. Chicken's always looking down. I've never seen a chicken just stop and look up. Down all the time. And he's picking around and picking around, and what he picks, woo. But now you take an eagle. The wind blows and a stiff breeze blows, and it just puts his wings out like that and looks up. Oh, glory. He knows his element. He knows where he belongs. Not out in a barnyard somewhere with his head down, but soaring above, high above, on the high currents, glory to God. God has designed and ordained that the Christian life, you and I are to soar above the present distresses and experiences of this world.
Yes,
soar above it. Those are the thermals that lift us up. The trials and the troubles just spread our wings and be lifted up.
Praise.
Glory be to God. The ark was well prepared and well fixed. It had one door. No back door here.
No.
Right. One way in.
Yes.
No back door. Amen. Of course, I can't imagine anybody ever getting in the ark wanting out.
Right.
Not with the storm coming. Not with the waters rising. No, I don't want out. I'm glad to be in. And there were some folks there. You know the story. There were some folks there that maybe that was just quite something. He's building an ark. He said, it'll rain. He said this and the other. But oh, when God shut the door and the rain began to come, and it stayed on a day and two and on and on and on, he had some knocks on the door. Let us in. You were wise. We see now what you were doing. Folks, we better get a hold of some things right now. I tell the folks at home, we're hurricane country people. I guess here too. You cannot build in the storm.
Okay.
You got a big 4x8 sheet of plywood, a 75 mile an hour wind, you're going to tap up something. Goodbye. Blew away in the storm. He's out there trying to build in the storm. Look at him. Not for long, though.
All right.
Blown away. You better get those things taken care of and build correctly and build accurately. This is what Jesus is talking about here. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew. You know, if you could separate those things, you might be able to weather the rain. And you might be able to weather singly, see. You might be able to weather the winds and you might be able to handle the flood, but they all hit in series. Rain, flood, wind. Uh-oh. That old leaky roof, and now water's coming on quicker than you can get it out. Time's sinking. Abandoned ship. We're sinking. Doesn't have to be that way, folks. Oh, God's got something in mind. Listen to what he says. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded up on a rock. Founded, it was established, it was deep enough, it was settled down, it was sound. Able to weather the storm and to preserve life. Salvation is intended to take us all the way through this earthly journey. Oh, God so designed and so fixed it. He gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came all the way from heaven and purchased and established and designed a salvation experience that those that enter in will be kept safe all the way through. Glory to God. He didn't miss. Jesus didn't miss. He didn't miss in what he was doing. He completely accomplished everything. Amen. Through the storm now. Oh, let's look at another picture. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. This is a sad picture here. I hear you. And doeth them not. Now, folks, tonight, this is amazing to me that it says here. I've always thought in terms of they didn't really hear, they were just listening. Or for the moment, they got something. But here it says they heard. They heard. They heard and did not. That seems to be the fatal combination, folks. To hear and do nothing about it can be and is fatal. They heard and did not. What happened? I'll show you to whom they're likened. They shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. God help us. I've come on foundation places where the rains and the water have washed the sand away from under that place, and you can see big old holes built on the sand. The sand is, sometimes the water hits the sand, looks to me like it melts. And just washed away. Friend, God help us all. Building on the sand. Building on something that has no eternal bearing. Nothing that's connected in God. Sand. It's going to fail you when you need it the most. It's going to let you down when you need it the most. They built on the sand. The rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew. Same trial. You know what I get out of this? In the Christian walk of life, you're going to have trials and tests. Plenty. Amen. In the sinner walk of life, you're going to have trials and tests. Plenty. Amen. You're not going to avoid those. There's folks that don't have the Lord and they're up against it and they don't know what to do. They don't know which way to turn. They have no anchor. They have nothing to guide, to steady them. They don't have anything. You know, that is a very distressing and bewildering place to be in. Where shall I turn? What can I do? Who can help me? We need the Lord, folks. Us human creatures need the Lord. What happened? The rains came, the floods, the winds, and beat upon that house, and it fell. No surprise, it fell. And great was the fall of it. I get something out of that that touches my heart. It saddens me. Great was the fall of it. It seems that it could have been a different situation. There were warnings and pleadings. They heard the word. They didn't do what the word said. And now it's time for the judgments of God. Great was the fall. Great was the fall. Friend, we don't have to fall tonight. We can dig deep and we can begin to apply ourselves and get a hold on God and take this word seriously to our hearts and ask God to help us now. If there's anything shoddy or shabby about my experience in God, if I'm outside of God, I can say, Lord, I need the whole works. If my condition is I need to work in some special area that the Lord is showing me, then let's not patch it up. That's the thought I'm getting. Don't patch it up. Let's do the job complete. Let's come to the altar complete. I've known folks to get a patch job. And consequently, because it was only a patch job, it's only a matter of time. One place in the scripture talks about a rent being made worse because they patched up that old skin and that old garment and so forth. And when it ripped again, it's worse. We need something. It's imperative that we have something that'll take us through the storms of life, folks. That'll take us through the trials and tests of life. It's very, very important that we have something that'll take us through. How about it tonight? We're going to go right around again. We're coming right down the same street. Do you have what you need to go all the way through this life? Are you situated in Jesus? Are you riding dry and comfortable and without the fears that so attack us in this world, or these things that bring distress and discomfort? Are you resting in Jesus? The poet said, I'm resting in Jesus. Oh, it is precious. Are you resting in Jesus tonight? This is what he's talking about. Dig deep. Dig deep. Get settled on the rock. Get deep in the rock. We often say, hit the rock. And over there where the Lord told Moses, I want you to sanctify me before the people, and I want you to call them together. And he said to him, speak to the rock. And he was to let the water, bring the water forth and so forth. Moses hit the rock. Now let me tell you something. The Lord is willing to bless you. He wants a greater place in your life, to where we have a greater confidence and a greater esteem and a more of a desire to let him have control of our lives. Speak to the rock. Lord, I want an experience that isn't just some little surface superficial thing. Speak to the rock. Lord, bless me in my soul that I be able to come up from this time, and that my growing be certain and sure, and that the processes work righteousness and be favorable in my soul to where I can stand true down through the years. That's what we're looking for, down through the years. I got saved to stay saved down through the years. I'm going to tell you something else too. When I found the church of God, I found the church of God. I have no desire, and I do not expect to be roaming and roving anywhere. Oh, I'm going to settle and grow and advance in the church of God. Amen. Thank the Lord. The devil is shrewd these days, folks. Discouraged and disheartened, but I like to say, have I applied all that God has revealed by His Word? How deep am I digging? How fervent is my digging? How steady am I at it? We're putting a line in at my house. If you've never dug in Florida soil, you got down where we live, you got an experience. We're putting a drain line in, and I'm going to save some money again, see? And so the plumber tells me you got to go down 13 inches. And it has to be this way. And then he showed everything. He had it all lined out with the strings. And I'm going to dig. I started digging. And the kind of the coral rock and all of that. I guess we got 2 or 3 inches. And I was ready to take a seat. It's hard. Digging is hard, folks. Digging is hard. If you're really digging in God, you're going to do some perspiring, and it's going to seem like your blood is going out of you. You're digging now, see? Amen. And I found my helpers were sitting down more than they were digging. It's hard. It's hot. It's long. And I thought, oh God, this is what stops some souls up. When they really start digging, they realize that it takes some real effort to dig. To dig. And I got it down to about 10 inches. And I thought, that's fine. Ah, that's plenty. 10 inches. Now he told me 13. But I said 10 is plenty. That fellow came along and took his ruler out. And said, duh, 3 more inches. You need 3 more inches. You haven't dug enough yet. Sometimes we'll dig to a point, and we will decide, I've dug enough.
Yes, that's right.
This is a plenty here. Thank God. Oh, the Lord comes along and takes His yardstick out. And just puts it right on it and says, nope, you need to dig some more. You ever had the Lord tell you, I'll tell you when to stop? Oh, I had hopes if I got those other 3 inches, I could quit. Oh, folks, I hope we can get a hold of something here. Are we earnestly, seriously digging? Amen. You know, we can get dissatisfied with things, humanly speaking. And we can let things run down around us and get all dissatisfied. And the easy way about all of that is to, you know, just kind of leave all of that and start again somewhere. But if we get real in earnest and begin to work on things. See, I live here and I don't want it run down like this. This is my soul. I don't want it run down like this. And I want to come up to standard. I want to come up to specification. I don't want to be short in my life. If folks would do this, there'd be less scattering and flowing all over the place. I want to come up to standard in my life. I want to come up to standard. What's the standard? The Word of God. Lord, put the yardstick on me. Keep digging. Sister Chandler said we ought to have a hole deep, deep down. Oh, you know what I marvel at? In my father's lifetime, the things that would just shake me and upset me. I didn't know which way to turn. And felt like I could call him for some counsel and advice. He was a man of God. And when I'd call him, the thing that would marvel me, nothing seemed to ruffle him. And I'd just be, what are you going to do? He'd say, well, praise God. The Lord's got an answer for us. And I'm saying, how can you be so calm? You didn't hear me. This is happening and so and so is happening. There's a place in God, folks, where we will view events around us as God views them. Not all ruffled and shook. Amen. There was a time. The prophet of God. The enemy heard about him and been trying to capture him. And they came up and surrounded everything. The next day, the servant got out and came back and said, oh, we're surrounded. The enemy has surrounded us. What are we going to do? Looked like the prophet didn't get shook up. I want to say something here. You know, sometimes folks that are easily incited, the devil will use them to incite you. They'll come just a shaking and a nervous and all upset. And if you aren't real careful and if you aren't deep enough, you'll buy into that and you'll be shaking. What is this all about? Listen, I know this. There's some folks that are excitable people, and unless they get some depth, they'll be the cause of many panics and false alarms. Panic. False alarm. Got everybody shook up. And you can't hardly steady that thing out once it starts. Lack of depth. They were surrounded, and according to the seeing of the eyes and the hearing of the ears, I'm going to say this again, folks. Spiritual things, things that are real in God, are not perceived by the eyes and the ears and the senses. They're not. What are we going to do? The old prophet simply said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. Let him see. Let him see. What did the prophet see that the young servant didn't see? Experience. Depth. A walk with God. Time spent in loving and serving God. The whole spectrum and process of God making us through diggings and breakings and dealings. God help us all. The angels of the Lord encamped round about. All in the hills and the chariots. They that are with us are more than all the enemy. Oh, how settling and soothing that is if you're well enough situated in God to see it. The darkest hour is only 60 minutes. How do you see it? Amen. The darkest hour, I mean, it's dark. Things look bad. It's only 60 minutes.
That's right.
Oh, listen. May God help us. He digs deep. And found it up on a rock. That rock is Jesus. That rock is Jesus, folks. Our experience cannot be separated from Jesus, a closeness to Jesus. Found it upon a rock. Are you close to the Lord tonight? Is Jesus close to you tonight? Oh, friend, tonight. Let's come closer. Closer, my child, to me. Closer, my child, to me. Come closer. Come closer. Oh, that's where the depths and the richness is, it's right there, close to Jesus. That's where we're kept. That's where we're able to go through this life, and our vessel will be undaunted by all the winds and the waves and the rains. In the Hebrew boy's instance, it was the smoke and the flame. It all boils down to the same thing. The flame cannot harm you. See? It didn't harm them. The smoke didn't harm them. You want to talk about where they were? Read it. They purposed not to defile themselves. See? They purposed. We won't do it. We won't cross over. There was something there. There was some real believing and abiding there. And because of that, there were three in the furnace, in the flame, but yet another came. God help us. Folks, that's not just put there to cause our eyebrows to raise. It's to help us to know that the Lord can bless us in a way that the flames and the winds and the rains and you name it won't be able to harm us. But when it's just on the surface, come a strong wind. It doesn't take a real powerful storm to upset. A big tree, I've seen them upset. Because they were just sitting seemingly on top of the soil. The whole root system. Just turn the thing over. It looks like a big cap. Yes. But then I've seen other trees. The same storm. I've seen the trees. Look like they may bend just a little. But after a while they straighten out again and they're still there. Yes. What kind of a root system do they have? Down deep. Down deep. There's another thing about depth. It's a precious thought to me. There's a lot of big fanfare about finding the Titanic and locating and so forth. But then somebody was able to get some modern technology and take pictures. And they took pictures of that sunken ship. Down in the deep, 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 deep of the ocean. There were things that were left on the deck, in the different rooms, that were exactly in the same place when that ship finally rested in her grave. Now, what are we talking about in the deep? Down in the deep, the turbulence of the upper currents could not affect that. Those things that were right there, detailed, right where it landed. There's something about in the deep places where the turbulence around us can't reach us. Folks, there's turbulence all around. There's turbulence everywhere. Are you being affected? Lo, here is Christ. No, He's here. No, He's over here. Bless God, He's here. Folks, you won't know where you are if you're still on the surface in this walk with God. You won't be sure and you won't know and you can't know. There's a process in God that brings us to where we are. Let Him have His way. Oh, make of me what You would have me to be. Lord, take me through the whole process. I don't want to spring up. I don't want to miss anything You've designed for the betterment of my soul. I need it. I want to be around as long as You'd have me, Lord. Amen.